Welcome to the final edition of Series 9 of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. Wow, 9 series for something that just started as a bit of fun. And I always said it would be 2 series and out like 40 towers. Here we are though, already thinking about Series 10. Before we get there though, hands up all those who celebrated the introduction of the sugar tax. Well, Jamie Oliver was certainly chuffed, standing outside Parliament with a grin like a Cheshire cat. It was certainly a good news headline of the day. Well, before IDS hijacked the press, of course, and we forgot all about it. So what was that really all about? Well, the tax will be imposed on companies according to the volume of sugar sweetened drinks they produce or import. There'll be 2 bands, one for total sugar content above 5 grams per 100 millilitres, and a second higher band for the most sugary drinks with more than 8 grams per 100 millilitres. With me so far? Analysis by the Office for Budgetary Responsibility suggests they will be levied at 18 and 24 pence per litre. Examples of drinks which would currently fall under the higher rate of the sugar tax include full-strength Coca-Cola and Pepsi, LucasAid, Energy and Iron Brew. The lower rate would catch drinks such as Dr. Pepper's, Fanta, Sprite, Schweppes Indian Tonic Water and alcohol-free Shandy. Oh, that always was revolting. So what about other drinks full of sugar? Now there lies a bit of a problem, as a headline in the Daily Telegraph screamed, George Osborne must U-turn on his ludicrous sugar tax. Well, a bit of research in The Guardian showed that of 203 fruit juices, fruit drinks and smoothies stocked by 7 major supermarkets, which were excluded from the new tax, by the way, they found almost half contained a child's entire recommended daily intake of sugar, which is a maximum of 19 grams or nearly 5 teaspoons. Understandably also, the soft drinks makers are not happy at the prospect of paying an estimated £520 million to the Chancellor, so they're considering suing the government. It's getting confusing, isn't it? Well, let's hope if they do, Westminster doesn't use Education Minister Nicky Morgan to plead their case. As she told the BBC's Andrew Marr, frankly, as Education Secretary, I would much rather we educate children on healthy eating. But then again, she also said on Question Time,
there is clearly an issue in this country.
So what about latte macchiatos and all those things that I don't understand but are absolutely full of sugar?
The medical evidence is that actually, in spite of the sugar in those sorts of drinks, actually the milk and the, presumably the calcium and everything else is still beneficial to people. But let me say one thing.
Not if it's full of sugar.
Well, look, Roger, there is a medical evidence and that's how this policy has been developed.
Yes, I think we did just hear that right. But let's just check.
In spite of the sugar in those sorts of drinks, actually the milk and the presumably the calcium and everything else is still beneficial.
Thought so, which would appear to suggest the sugar tax is based on some pretty shaky science. Or with respect to the Education Secretary, she should perhaps stick to education. And another thing that comes to mind is why just fizzy drinks and why just kids? We have an obesity problem costing the NHS billions at all stages of life. And while starting with children is vital, we shouldn't be ignoring the rest of society as they guzzle down those mocha latte things. The rationale behind just including fizzy drinks was explained as being partly because unlike a chocolate bar or a slice of cake, they're not automatically seen as a treat. People who drink them tend to have them every day. Bit of a moot point that one, as we see the hordes of kids heading for the shop at lunch with a can of drink in one hand and a chocolate bar in the other. From sugar tax to food crime and the Food Standards Agency's first assessment of food crime in the UK. Well, actually, it wasn't so much of an assessment as an admission. There are a considerable number of data gaps, which Grandad would have termed, I don't know, boy. One fact did stand out, though, and we thought we'd finally close the stable door on Horsegate, didn't we? But it's that there are still 60 different organisations capable of issuing a horse passport. And yet, no sniggering at the back. Well, I suppose it'd have to be a Shetland pony to get through those airport scanners. Anyway, that suggests quite how complicated the process is. And the more complicated things get, the more likely they are to be abused. Staying with food and anyone ordering a takeaway in Wales will shortly be given details of their Choices food hygiene rating. As from November, the Welsh Government will make it compulsory that takeaway menus and other flyers contain details of food hygiene ratings. Perhaps a little confusing if you live on the border, it'll depend which country your meal comes from. But another positive move, particularly when you consider, despite the scheme being in place for 8 years in England, premises are still not obliged to show their ratings to their customers. And now, let's reinvent the wheel. Or in the government's case, start a pilot project which chooses 73 local authorities to pilot brownfield registers to provide up-to-date information on former commercial or industrial sites available for housing. Obviously, those in power have got very short memories, as town planners used to do this when they were required to originally keep contaminated land registers before a change in legislation introduced a new definition of contaminated land, which automatically took 90% of sites off the register, thus requiring, a decade later, town planners to keep a register of brownfield sites again. The only difference this time round is that the sites will automatically be given planning permission in principle, which leads to the question, with few environmental health professionals left to ensure the sites are adequately cleaned up, what are we going to be living on in the future? Finally, this series, with all those Easter eggs around the corner, Public Health England has produced its Eat Well guide aimed at giving us all a balanced diet. Or as Grandad used to say, a little bit of what you fancy does you good. And again, he always used to say, if you go into hospital, son, have the salad. It's the only thing they can't mess up. But that is definitely another story. The guide is meant to provide a way of getting through the minefield of nutrition advice that one day has us ignoring saturated fat, and the next getting advice from somewhere that we should restock the fridge with lard. If there's one thing we've learned over the years, it's get the right message to the right people, and you might just get the right result. With that in mind, have a great Easter all, and we'll see you soon for Series 10. Now, who fancies a coffee?
In spite of the sugar in those sorts of drinks, actually, the milk and the, presumably the calcium and everything else is still...
Not you, Nikki. Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl, and you got me. I'm a public health professional, Get Me Out of Here is written, produced and presented by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons licence. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited. Oh, sugar.